Good evening, Truth Seekers. Good God, where to start tonight? I'm not even sure. Tony Snow's total buck passing on all the hideous stories coming out about Walter Reed Medical Center and the wounded and maimed and totally used and abused broken soldiers that Bush has created and doesn't care about. And another Tony Blair's big upcoming announcement tomorrow about British troop levels. They're going to be reduced and withdrawn completely. Maybe the British thing is all about Prince Harry. You know, he said he wanted to go to Iraq. I can just see something happening to Prince Harry. Then there's the war gaming going on in Iran and the multiple implausible denials by various members of the Bush crime family that an Iran invasion is on the horizon. And the ruling by a federal appeals court today, which effectively destroys what millions of fighters in this country have given their lives for over the course of the history of this country, and that is the U.S. Constitution. I'm absolutely stunned. The federal appeals court ruled in D.C. today that foreign-born prisoners held in Guantanamo Bay may not challenge, by us, may not challenge their detention in U.S. courts. How about that? This is pre-Magna Carta stuff. This goes back to before the 13th century. I'm stunned. I really am. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia ruled 2-1 that civilian courts no longer have the authority to even consider whether the military is illegally holding someone. Now, what this means, it will strip court access for hundreds of detainees whose cases currently are pending. Hundreds of people now have absolutely no recourse, nothing, no way to defend themselves against anything. They can be tortured. They can be found guilty on evidence that they are not allowed to challenge. Now, think about this. Think what this evil son of a bitch has done, this George W. Bush freak. Now, what happens if this extends to civilian detainees that are American citizens? How much effort will it take to make that little step? Not much. Habeas corpus, prove to me that you're holding me legally is no longer valid. Where it concerns hundreds, if not thousands. You know how many people we have in Iraqi prisons that have been scooped up over there? Close to 16,000. Truth Seeker, this is a dark night. This is Soviet Union stuff. This is the two judges. It was a 2-1 ruling. The two judges are both Republican appointees. One of them is this crazy freak, David Sentell. David Sentell was the judge that fired the special prosecutor that was investigating Clinton, because the special prosecutor investigating Clinton came up with nothing. And David Sentell was the one who appointed what was his name? The special prosecutor that went after Clinton, Ken Starr. So here he is again, David Sentell. Now, this act, the Military Commissions Act, was pushed by Bush through Congress last year to set up a set of laws or a subtext of laws that come right out of a Khrushchev or Bulganin or any of those old nasty-ass Soviet rulers. It comes right out of their playbook. We can arrest you. We can torture you. We can arrest you anywhere on the planet. And as long as we hold you in one of our prisons, not on U.S. soil, we can do anything to you we want to do. We can torture you. We can list accusations against you to which we do not have to provide proof. And you will not even be able to see the list of accusations. We will hold a trial where we present all the witnesses. You will sit there with your mouth shut. If we find you guilty and sentence you to death, there is no appeal. Son of a bitch, do you realize what has happened today? Do you realize what has happened today? A spokesman for the criminal Bush Justice Department, run by that filthy Gonzalez, praised the decision. Praise the decision that this filthy president can do whatever he wants with no legal limitations as long as he does it offshore for now. Under this act, by the way, the Military Commissions Act, the CIA is authorized to use any sort of tactic that it wants to in order to extract confessions, in order to extract information, anything it wants to do. I mean, I'm stunned. I really am. I'm out of my mind when I heard about this. Democratic Senator Pat Leahy, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, said he was accelerating efforts to pass a revision to the law that Bush rammed through this filthy Republican Congress last year that will restore detainees' legal rights. Leahy noted that some 12 million lawful permanent residents currently in the United States could also be stripped of rights immediately. Now, American citizens are next. Leahy said, the Military Commissions Act is a dangerous and misguided law that undercuts our freedoms and assaults our Constitution by removing vital checks and balances designed to prevent government lawlessness. Jesus God. Jonathan Haffetz, who's an attorney at the Brennan Center for Justice, which was involved in, I think, as in an amicus brief in this decision, said this ruling sends the wrong message about justice to not just to U.S. citizens, but also to the international community. Attorney Haffetz said, quote, it's a terrible ruling that contradicts centuries of Anglo-American history and allows the indefinite detention of innocent people without charge or judicial review. Now, one of the cases at hand that resulted in this filthy ruling by these communist bastards is a guy who's being held at Guantanamo for 5 years with no charges, nothing, no charges. And now, no legal means to challenge their detention, to say to a court, somebody has to produce something to indicate why I'm being held other than this rat bastard in the White House calling me an illegal combatant. Write the date down, Truesigger, February 20th, 2007. Write it down. Honest to Christ, write it down. Because what this court in D.C. has done today is just beyond belief. These Nazi bastards, the gall that rises up in my stomach makes me reach for the Prilosec. Oh, God. Unbelievable. All right, we'll take a break and come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Oh, by the way, the ruling is likely to be appealed to the Supreme Court, which is now populated by more Nazi communist rat bastards that the Democrats refuse to filibuster against, remember?
Take a while, hooked up to a satellite, make sure the world's behaving right. I don't mean to bust your groove, think it's time we made a move. Freedom isn't free tonight. Freedom isn't free tonight.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Twenty-one past the hour. Our listener, one of our listeners in the UK, Simon, who emails quite a bit, sent this to me. It's from the BBC. Just about the time it was hitting in this country, Tony Blair expected to announce a timetable for the withdrawal of UK troops from Iraq. This announcement is supposed to come tomorrow in the House of Commons. Blair is expected to say hundreds of troops will return from Basra within several weeks, with more to follow later. Right now, there are about 7,100 UK troops who are currently serving in Iraq. You know, the last remaining partner in the coalition of the willing. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot. Mariana Island still has a cook there. The BBC political correspondent said by Christmas, a total of 3,000 troops, or about half, are expected to have returned. And another correspondent said the sources within the Prime Minister's office said that the pullout was slightly slower than they had expected. And if conditions worsen, this process, excuse me, could still slow even further. And then Simon added, even though it's a good thing my countrymen won't be shot at anymore, I can't help but think this is cynically timed to stop Prince Harry from going over there. Harry has insisted he wants to go, but the government can't afford bad headlines if he got his head shot off in Basra or something. And then interestingly, Nick and Patty in New Hampshire also wrote, Hi, Mike. Last week, the British press announced that Prince Harry, third in line to the throne of England, insisted and apparently persisted in getting sent to Basra, Iraq, with his regiment. This evening, American mainstream media is all abuzz with news that Tony Blair announced British troop drawdown of some 1,700 troops next month. Do you think the Queen Mum rang up Tony Twinkletoes and told him that if he didn't get British troops out of Iraq, that he would be getting a one-way trip to the Tower of London? So the solution, Nick and Patty write, to getting our troops out real quick is to send the Bush twins to Fallujah as soon as they sober up. Yeah, well, there's two chances of that happening, Nick and or Patty. Slim and none. God. The lies about the U.S. military buildup concerning Iran are starting to really stick in my throat more so than just the fact that they're lies. This filthy Bush White House today, through their pig spokesman, Tony Snow, emphasized diplomacy over potential military action against Iran. And this statement by Tony Snow came just a day after a top naval commander in that region, our top naval commander, questioned the intentions behind Iran's recent exercises in the Persian Gulf. Now, keep in mind that we have done nothing but try to provoke Iran. We have sent, or in the process of sending, three naval battle groups to the Persian Gulf area, deliberately to antagonize Iran. In 1953, I realize it's 1,000 million years ago, we overthrew their government. We have done everything you can imagine to the Iranians, short of bombing them yet. And apparently that's on the table. We have committed provocative act after provocative act. But Vice Admiral Patrick Walsh, who's commander of the Fifth Fleet, said Iran is sending a message to the region that is, quote, provocative and intimidating, end quote. Iran is sending the message, he says. He went on to say at a press briefing in his hidey hole in Bahrain, quote, specifically, the concern with Iran is the combination of rhetoric and the exercises that have taken on a very bellicose and pugnacious tone, end quote. Now, that's coming from one of our spokes geeks, one of our naval commanders, saying that Iran has been provocative and bellicose. Jesus H. Christ, what would we do if, oh, I don't know, pick a country, China, invaded, pick a country, Canada? What would we do? Huh? Would we be sending people into Canada to find out what was going on, or maybe to help our compatriots in the north? And what if China said, okay, you're acting provocatively and with bellicosity? When they sent three battle groups to surround the United States, what would we do? Jesus, God, I'm sick of these people. Walsh said the exercises and training by Iran that involves the areas around the Strait of Hormuz are his, quote, greatest concern, end quote. His greatest concern.
But I have to say that I'm scared tonight. Crouching in this hole, with a mouth full of sand. What comes first, the country or the man?
You're listening to Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
Twenty-six before the hour. So, while the Bush crime family tries to pretend that there's nothing going on in Iran, and that we are pursuing diplomatic channels. Tony Snow said today, like we did in North Korea, if you can believe that. He actually said that. One of the senior military commanders in that area, U.S. Commander Vice Admiral Patrick Walsh, says that Iran is sending a message that is both provocative and intimidating. It's astonishing. I don't know. Is this Vice Admiral, is he totally brainwashed, brain dead? Is he not aware that we have been provoking, if that's the right word, Iran since 1953? We have been provoking those people for the past 54 years, and this freakish Vice Admiral says they're provoking us because we have initiated an immoral, unjustified, sick, psychotic war for the amusement of George Bush and his oil buddies right next door to Iran. And on the other side of Iran, we initiated a war against Afghanistan that, in fact, Iran helped us with. And Bush is making, and Tony Snow, all these pigs are making these saber-rattling statements. And this freakish vice admiral says Iran is making intimidating moves? Holy God! Walsh, this freakish vice admiral, noted that a year ago he told reporters that the contacts the U.S. Navy had with the Iranians in the Persian Gulf were professional. That was last year. Professional. But he said at his press conference near his hidey hole in the Middle East, he said, quote, when they take that tone, and I guess that tone is they decide to hold war games that we do all the time. When they take that tone, which is they start testing the offensive capabilities of the United States and Israel and the UK in that area on the sea, when they take that tone, this freakish vice admiral says, when they have the absolute temerity to challenge an invader that is creeping in on them like a rapist in the middle of the night, when they take that tone, the vice admiral says, and they have very aggressive displays of a warlike, bellicose sort of attitude, it's hard for me to arrive at the characterization that they're being professional. Unbelievable stuff, isn't it? Unbelievable stuff. Now, the fact that we have two aircraft carrier battle groups in that area, and that we have Patriot missiles, and Christ only knows what else, the Israelis have a nuclear arsenal ready to drop on Iran. And what's our comeback? We have found Iranian agents inside Iraq. Oh, well, that's a terrible thing, isn't it? Jesus Christ, nuke them for that one. But think about it. What would we do? What would we do if China invaded Canada and then sent three aircraft carrier battle groups off the coast of California, New York, and if they caught a couple of our operatives trying to work with our Iranian, our Canadian brothers, accused us Americans of bellicose activity? The audacity of these bastards in the White House is just monumental. And what are you and I doing about it, Truth Seeker? I'm not gonna bitch and complain tonight, but we are allowing this to continue. No more habeas corpus. The U.S. Court of Appeals in the D.C. have said, nope, we no longer have to abide by the Magna Carta. Nope. 750 years of that law is goddamn enough. That's enough. George Bush can detain anybody he wants to anywhere on the face of the earth and torture them and provide false testimony, and it doesn't matter. God. So, at the White House press briefing today, with this pukish Tony Snow and a less intimidated than usual White House press corps, an answer was tried to pry an answer out of this PR flack, Tony Snow. Victoria Jackson, reporter, tried to get some truth about our coming attack on Iran, and Tony Snow's accusation over the weekend that some members of our Congress are trying to protect Iran. Christ. Victoria Snow begins this way. Tony, over the weekend, you were asked by Wolf Blitzer. I'm sorry, Victoria Jackson. You were asked by Wolf Blitzer, are you getting ready for war with Iran? And you replied, no. And then you stated, quote, I'm at a total loss to find any place where this administration has been trying to create a run-up with a war in Iran. It's interesting to me, you said, Tony, that it seems that some politicians maybe are trying to protect Iran. Well, rather than trying to protect Iran, Tony, couldn't their concern be about the United States, about deploying U.S. forces to a potential conflict with Iran, and not in the interest of protecting Iran or protecting Iraq or whatever the hell it is? Now, listen for Helen Thomas's interjection here.
What's been interesting to us about the persistence of these stories is that the president, the secretary of defense, and the press secretary on probably approaching a dozen occasions right now have made it clear that our approach with Iran is comprehensive and diplomatic. And we've said it over and over, and they're continued. People
believe you.
It's a good question why people it's just been an interesting tactic in terms of trying to create a sense of aggression on the part of this administration that is not only unwarranted but unwelcome in terms of trying to do diplomatically what we think ought to be done with Iran. And so the point here is, why try to whip up suspicion and skepticism about an administration right after we demonstrated the success of the diplomacy in North Korea using the same means and methods that we're trying to employ with the Iranians?
Oh, my God.
And therefore, it just strikes as curious why people persist in trying to stoke up rumors about something that simply isn't true.
It's astonishing. Do we have two carrier battle groups off the coast of North Korea? I don't think so. Have we gotten UN resolutions saying that if the North Koreans don't step back from their nuclear program by a date certain this month, that international sanctions and possibly other means are going to be employed? Don't think so. What the hell is he talking about? Do we have six-party talks with Iran? No, don't think so. So what is he talking about? That we're using the same means and methods that we use in North Korea. In the first place, this administration didn't use any means and methods in North Korea. That was China, Russia, South Korea, and Japan. And the U.S. was dragged kicking and screaming like a three-year-old throwing a tantrum in the middle of Target to those talks. I don't know. Nothing, is it not clear to you yet, Truth Seeker, that nothing is going to stop these people being the Bush crime family, nothing. Do you have an office pool where you work about when we start bombing Iran or when the Israelis start dropping nukes? Do you? Nothing. As far as gutting the Constitution, they continue. As far as disobeying the law, they continue. As far as a warlike attitude, now we're going to have a war in Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Somalia. Where else? They continue. Nothing. Nothing. Do you not get this? Do you not get this? Nothing. Nothing can stop the Bush crime family. Nothing. Do you get that? Huh? Is that true? Nothing can stop them. Now, let me go back briefly to the ruling by the D.C. District Court today, Appeals Court, that George W. Bush has the right to torture and brutalize anyone he wants to, execute anyone he wants to, as long as he's not on U.S. property or in the U.S., because Guantanamo is U.S. property. We bought it. We paid for it. We lease it for forever. So, the law to me, who was it that said the law is an ass? Character in Shakespeare. Don't send it to me. I'm just tossing out rhetorically. But the court, David Sentell, I mentioned the 2-1 ruling, and one of those who ruled that the Constitution of the United States is dead is David Sentell. And our North Metro Atlanta correspondent, Sharon, emailed in. Don't forget, David Sentell overturned Oliver North's and John Poindexter's convictions in the Iran-Contra criminal activity on a technicality.
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 10 before the hour. Now, let's take just a little bit more here on this ruling today by the appeals court, the appellate court, federal appeals court in D.C., That Bush has the right to do anything he wants to do with anybody they scoop up, anybody. Right now, it's limited to non-U.S. citizens scooped up on foreign soil. They can be tortured, beaten, murdered, executed, as long as it's not done here. This is astonishing stuff, especially in light of the fact that we have established, like the old Soviet Union, a Gulag archipelago, where we have prison camps now, torture facilities scattered all over the country. Jesus Christ, that's what we've become. Can you believe that? Christian nation? Yeah, okay. Jesse in Boynton Beach, regarding torture, says they did such a number on Jose Padilla that he lost his mind and can't testify for his defense if he wanted to. And this was in... This was in, New York Times or Washington Post. This was back in December. Jose Padilla was the first and only American citizen to be held without charge after being labeled an enemy combatant by Bush. 36-year-old former Chicago gang member was arrested in June 2002. The Bush crime family claimed he had been sent by Al-Qaeda to blow up a radioactive dirty bomb in American City. He's been in custody now for, 4.5 years? Four years? A little over 4 years. Padilla's lawyers are claiming that new images taken from a government video show that he received unduly harsh, quote, treatment while being held in the U.S. Navy brig in Charleston, South Carolina. The pictures, still shots from an unclassified Department of Defense video, show his hands and feet shackled as he wears headphones and blacked-out goggles while being escorted by three guards dressed in helmets and riot gear to a dental appointment. This was in the New York Times. The new material was filed in federal court in Miami late last week. Now, remember, this back in December. And was first reported by the Times. The filing comes as part of an attempt by Padilla's lawyers to win dismissal of criminal charges against him for supporting terrorism. Lawyers argue that Padilla was subjected to the equivalent of torture, whatever that means, while in U.S. military custody, and that the experience has left him psychologically damaged and unable to participate in his own defense. One of Padilla's lawyers said the extended torture visited upon Mr. Padilla has left him damaged, both mentally and physically. He was subjected to sleep deprivation, extremes of heat and cold, forced to stand in so-called stress positions, and given truth serum, for Christ's sake, to make him talk. The filing includes an affidavit from a psychiatrist who said that he apparently is suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome and cannot adequately assist his own lawyers in preparing his legal defense. According to the psychiatrist's affidavit in the court filing, quote, when approached by his attorneys, Padilla begs them, please, 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 not to have to discuss his case. The psychiatrist also reported that Padilla, quote, refuses to watch the videos of his interrogation, and he refuses to answer questions pertaining to aspects of the evidence in his case, end quote. Oh, my God. Oh, U.S. officials and spokespersons for this filthy Department of Defense have long insisted that Padilla never faced torture, arguing in their own legal filings that he never experienced anything but, quote, humane treatment consistent with his safety and security. Oh, my God. Well, I'm starting to... starting to get those feelings on a gut level that there is no legal solution to what's going on. I guess there are two venues left open to reestablish the rule of law in this country, and that would be, as Patrick Leahy said, for Congress to pass a law that changes the military act under which Bush now can torture and murder and kill to his filthy heart's content, have Congress undo the law passed last year and redo it, where the people who are picked up by American authorities are protected by the American Constitution. It's so simple. And the other avenue, which would take much longer, would be for the attorneys involved in these cases at Guantanamo to pursue a hearing before the United States Supreme Court. Of course, the U.S. Supreme Court can, at their leisure, pick and choose whatever case they want to hear. And they are finished hearing cases this year. They don't open. They're considering cases and issuing rulings. But the next chance, I believe, that attorneys will have to argue before the Supreme Court will be after October. Is it the first Monday in October when the Supreme Court places itself in session after a long summer break? this is painful stuff. This is painful stuff. It really is. And it's forcing me. I'm not afraid of death. I just am not. I want to stay alive as long as I can. I have children and grandchildren I'd like to see grow. But I am not afraid of death. I have no fear of it whatsoever. Until recently. And now I'm starting to fear that if I should die before my three-year-old is grown and can defend herself, before my grandchildren are grown and understand what they're up against, my fear is now around the fact that my child, my little girl, and my grandchildren will be undefended by me. So on a personal level, what these filthy bastards have done have given me a fear of dying that I have not had for 40 years. I just don't have it. And now all of a sudden, it's eating at me. Son of a bitch. When we come back, Foxy the Snowman weighs in on what Bush knew and when he knew it about the treatment of the wounded soldiers he created. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. I want to get to this Washington Post expose. Came out in Sunday's Post about what our soldiers are facing at the United States Army's so-called top medical facility. It's unbelievable. If you haven't read the article, go to WashingtonPost.com, or you can go to AmericaBlog.blogspot.com. The folks at AmericaBlog have put together, when you print it out, it runs about 21 pages, article after article about what is happening to the troops. And it's what is happening to our soldiers is being sanctioned by these filthy, disgusting Republicans and this filthy, disgusting Bush administration. It's just mind-boggling how they can stand there and Republicans and talk about supporting the troops and be as filthy as they really are. It never fails. Anytime a Republican says something is white, it is absolutely black. If they say it's black, it's absolutely white. When Republicans accuse Democrats of being X, Y, or Z, it is the Republicans who are X, Y, or Z. It's one of the oldest childlike tactics on the planet. Mommy, he did it, not me. Republicans have as much business trying to govern a country as characters from Little Abner comic strip from 50 years ago. It's just an outrage. But this Washington Post story, there's a huge color picture on the cover of Sunday's Post. And it's a soldier whose left eye has been blown away. And all there is a dry socket. And it's right there in full color on the Washington Post. One of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of American men and women who have had body parts blown off, blown to pieces, so that Bush can play with himself and act like he's, what did he compare himself to, Washington yesterday? Jesus, God. Underneath the picture of the soldier, it tells who he is. And at the bottom of the article, it mentions that wounded soldiers can wait for weeks with no help from staff to arrange treatment. That recuperating soldiers are asked to manage and guard other soldiers. That caseworkers are untrained. There are not enough of them. That lost paperwork and bureaucratic delays are common. Buildings are overcrowded. Roaches, rats, and vermin infest this filthy hole. And this is where our soldiers are going, you see, so that Bush can prance around like some kind of a psychotic little Nazi. At americablog.blogspot.com, Joe in D.C. writes, Bush to injured Iraq vets at Walter Reed. Don't talk to us about it. Just when you thought the Walter Reed veterans abuse scandal can't get any worse, it does. Today, Tuesday, the Bush administration disavowed any responsibility for what's happening to wounded soldiers at the Army hospital. White House spokesman Tony Snow got pummeled today at the White House briefing over the shabby treatment the soldiers are receiving at Walter Reed. But he was unfazed. You see, it's not the White House's problem, and they don't intend to take responsibility for fixing it. We've all seen the Bush administration talk about supporting the troops endlessly. They use our soldiers as political props all the time. But despite the treatment wounded troops are getting right here in D.C., at the supposed flagship hospital, the Bush team didn't say, this is an outrage and we're going to fix it. No, Tony Snow punted. The Bush White House takes no responsibility for what's going on at Walter Reed. They take no responsibility for fixing things. The White House didn't need to say it was their fault. They simply needed to say, this is outrageous, we're taking over. But they didn't. George Bush and the Republicans simply do not support our troops. It's beyond outrageous. Now, the point Joe is making here, Joe in D.C. is making here, is obvious. How many times have these filthy, draft-dodging, cowardly pigs, Bush and Cheney, used American troops as props, backdrop, when they make their filthy, murderous, warlike, unconstitutional declarations? How many times? Just about every time, right? And the troops are ordered to go sit there and applaud. All right. So here's from the briefing today. This is several reporters trying to get some truth out of Tony Snow about this Washington Post article. And another article that basically says the same thing in the Army Times. And you can access that by going to Army Times, what is it, .com? I think it's armytimes.com or .org. First reporter begins here, and then others chime in. The first reporter says, the administration's mantra for a long time has been support the troops. What is the reaction then, Tony, when you read the series of stories in the Washington Post about troops coming home from Iraq, Afghanistan, and being treated so poorly, apparently, based on this long investigation? What's the president's reaction?
It's not a mantra. I would really choose words carefully. It's a commitment to support the troops. And the president, as you know, has visited the wounded many times at Walter Reed, and we are concerned about it. And the people who we are aware now, and I would refer you to the Department of Defense, which I know is taking a very close look at it.
So you're saying the president learned about this from the Washington Post?
I don't know exactly where he learned from it, but I can tell you that we believe that they deserve better. And again, Ed, this is something where I'd suggest you give DOD a call, because I know they're taking a good hard look at it, too.
Can I just call on that? I mean, as Bob Dole might ask, where's the outrage?
There's plenty of outrage.
Is there?
Yeah.
Is there? Yeah, you can hear it in Tony Snow's voice, can't you? This sleepwalking son of a bitch. I usually don't wish bad things on... Well, no, I better not say it. Now, the reporters were undaunted. They continued to ask this piece of human waste why Bush doesn't seem to know or care how horribly the troops he's sending to be maimed are treated after he's done using them as his little personal war toys. You know, you and I, if you're a male... I didn't have any of these because we were too poor, but my next-door neighbor kid did. Little lead soldiers. Do you remember lead soldiers? Yeah, we used to play with lead. He had molds, and we would melt the lead in his basement and pour them into these molds to make these little lead soldiers. And God only knows what's waiting for me. It's six or seven years down the road from playing with all that lead when I was a kid. But they were toys! This psychotic bastard in the White House is playing the same kind of game I played with Jerry and Johnny and Jimmy in our neighborhood with lead soldiers, only this rat bastard is using human beings. And he has no use for them once they're broken, just like we didn't. Once our little soldiers' rifles were broken, into the bat they would go to be melted down. Son of a bitch. This reporter continues then, Tony, so how did the president respond when he learned about this? What specifically did he do or say? Did he order something to be done?
What I'm suggesting, there's a reason I'm suggesting DOD is the proper place which will be taking care of these issues. And I would refer you to them for comment. But this is something that's going to have to be an action item.
But is there any evidence that it was even looked at before the paper printed its two stories?
Yes. But I do not know. That's why, again, I would refer you, Bill, to the Department of the Army, which runs the Walter Reed Army Medical Center. This is the place where if you want to get...
It's an easy way for you not to have to talk about it.
Well, it's also a way of pointing to the proper authorities, which is what you would want.
Doesn't want to be on record with a more emphatic expression of amazement and upset about this?
No, I when David asked where the outrage, of course there's outrage.
Yeah, see? Oh, David, one of you other vermin asked about the outrage. I already answered the outrage question. Didn't you hear me? What's your name? Who are you? How did this woman get in here? Who are you? Who the hell are you? You're not Helen Thomas. Who are you? I've already answered the outrage question. You can't expect this filthy president who sits in his beautiful White House to get up upset over things in Iraq like our soldiers. This is brutal. This is heartbreaking. I got one more here. Poor Tony. Looks like all Karl Rove has allowed him to say on this story is, go ask the DOD. We'll have the last one when we come back, and then I want to share some of this, some of the facts about this Washington Post story. Oh my God.
The good guys that would never lose. 'Cause I don't see no ticker tape.
For me, in the, you know, living in the this beautiful White House, to give you an assessment, a first-hand assessment. I haven't been there. You have. I haven't.
Unbelievable. He's talking about Iraq. Unbelievable. So, Tony Snow, this is the last one from this filthy pig. Apparently, Karl Rove, you remember him, issued the orders that he should say, go ask the DOD where it concerned anything about what the Bush crime family is doing to returning soldiers. I swear to God, I do not understand how any single American would consider joining the United States military at this point in our history. What is the point? Bush and his crime family have destroyed it. They've taken away every bit of the honor. It's going to take a generation or two or six to get the honor of the United States military back. They've utterly destroyed it. They're now taking felons in as recruits because nobody wants any part of this. Oh, God. The problem with Go Ask the DOD is that reporters have asked the DOD, and the DOD is continuing to ignore the problem. So here's the facts. Our troops are as important as used Kleenex once they can no longer go kill or die or both for this pig in the White House. You know, Homeland Security, how many troops are left to protect the homeland? You know, that Bush is always yammering about. We've heard the tales. They're undertrained, under-equipped. The military now accepts criminals. They're so desperate. If the United States is ever really attacked by an honest-to-God terrorist threat, well, what's going to happen? Huh? I'll tell you what's going to happen. People like Randy Rhodes and me and Tom Hartman and you, because you're listening to this program, are going to go to one of those detention camps. That's what's going to happen. Do you think that we have any ability to protect ourselves against a terrorist attack? Come on. Well, no, I take that back. I would never go to a detention camp. I will kill any son of a bitch who tries to take me to one. And then I'll be shot dead. It's very simple. I know I'm saying some pretty radical stuff tonight about death and killing and all that. But you know, I don't care anymore. I really don't care anymore, because in my lifetime, I am watching my constitution for my country and my military and my society and everything good about my country being just destroyed. I've never felt so impotent in my life. Being destroyed by a gang of butchers, liars, thugs, and nobody seems to be able to do anything about it. What in the hell is going on? Jesus God! Come on, get a grip. You're a big boy. Come on. Back to the press conference. The next reporter asked this pig, Tony Snow. In December, National Public Radio, Tony, ran a series looking at the quality of mental health care for Iraq veterans who have returned. And the series showed that it's shocking how little care is provided to them. It seems there's a problem that's endemic to the system. And several members of Congress, Obama, Boxer, Bond, sent a letter to the Pentagon, which you're referring us to, asking for an investigation, which they have not agreed to conduct. So, Tony, I'm sorry, I'm not really screaming at you. That's Malloy. So you're referring us to the DOD, but they're not acting on this. So, Tony, does the president want them to do anything about it?
I would... Rather than leaping to a conclusion, as I said, I would suggest you call them and then we can talk about it later.
Off camera this morning, you said that you would have something at noon. You said, I'll talk about it then, yeah. And now you're not really...
Well, that's because, again, I think that you may see some activity on it, and at this point, I would refer you to the Department of Defense.
Is this going to say something about this later?
No.
Is the president going to say something about this later? No. Why bother his beautiful mind with tales of the soldiers he destroyed? Matters not a bit.
Reality radio for a rational world. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
26 before the hour. Go to americablog.blogspot.com and check out this whole Washington Post story and reaction to it in various publications. John in D.C. has another posting there about the American Legion silent on these new reports of abuse of America's veterans. John writes, the American Legion's website homepage is very telling for what it doesn't say. The most prominent thing on the website is a statement castigating Democratic House leaders for expressing disapproval of Bush's new surge plan for Iraq. And then John quotes a little bit of it here. This is what it says on the American Legion website homepage. Congress can talk all at once about how it supports the troops, but its actions set the table. The message they sent today to the front line is that America is preparing to cut and run. We essentially told our fighting men and women that we have taken step one in the plan to cut reinforcements, to cut armaments, and to withdraw any support you need to complete your mission, end quote. Are these sons of bitches totally brain dead? These American Legion thugs, do they not understand that the Bush crime family has under-supported our troops since this filthy invasion? What is wrong with these people? As John writes, talk about supporting the troops, tough talk about supporting the troops, so do you expect the American Legion to have something to say about the fact that 600,000 veteran disability claims are backlogged and going nowhere at Walter Reed, and about the fact that our troops are routinely treated like dogs while living at Walter Reed and after their discharge, or about the fact that the top guy at Walter Reed in charge of helping funnel private donations to help our troops is now being investigated for wrongdoing? You'd really expect that the American Legion homepage might have something to say about this gross injustice to America's war veterans, but you'd be wrong! Oh, my God. And then there's this. The Pentagon intentionally hiding at least 50% of Iraq injured and wounded. No wonder the health care budget for these troops isn't enough. The Post says, I've been asking myself the last 2 days why the Pentagon and Bush's White House don't seem to have asked for enough money to provide for the health care needs of all of our injured and wounded vets coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. Do they not know how many of our soldiers would be hurt and live? Or did they know the number of injured and wounded who would return but didn't tell Congress, because that would require admitting that the real cost of the war is, at the very least, several times more expensive than what we've already sent? Or is it that the Pentagon and the White House folks handling all of this are simply inept morons? It seems to be option number two, a cover-up. First, here's what Harvard professor Linda Bilmes uncovered. Quote, the central argument of the new Bilmes paper is that so many soldiers are being injured that the cost of caring for them over their lifetimes is likely to be $350 billion, or up to twice that, depending on how long the war lasts. The high cost is a result of huge advances in military medicine that have greatly reduced the chances that a soldier injured in Iraq will die. As a result, the ratio of injuries to deaths, 16 to 1, by her estimate, injuries to death, 16 to 1, is higher than in any other war in U.S. history. By comparison, in Vietnam, the ratio was 3 to 1. And in World War II, the ratio was 1.6 to 1. All of these people, all of these lead soldiers that this pig in the White House is sending off to die, and if not die, to be horribly wounded and maimed and injured, and then brought home to a healthcare system that says, screw you! We don't care! I don't know. Sometimes I don't know whether to scream or cry. The stories in the news just the past few days, John in D.C. also posted this at americablog.blogspot.com. Concerns mount, this is from Fox News, concerns mount over waiting lists at Veterans Affairs mental health centers. Marine Jonathan Schultz, who hanged himself January 16th, his family says 4 days earlier Schultz had called doctors at the Veterans Hospital in St. Cloud, Minnesota, and told them he was suicidal. They told the Associated Press that he was turned away on account of waiting list for beds at the hospital. As a rule, the VA does not put off veterans with suicide tendencies, say VA officials. Except what, you bastards, in this case? This is according to McClatchy Herald News reports, veterans have reduced access to mental health care at Department of Veterans Affairs facilities, investigation finds. Veterans with mental illnesses on average had almost one-third fewer visits with mental health professionals in 2005 than they did in 1995, according to an investigation conducted by McClatchy Newspapers. This was in the Miami Herald. Almost 100 VA clinics provided virtually no mental health care in 2005. And you know why that is, Truth Seekers? Because this pig, this disgusting pig in the White House, has cut the budget. When the soldiers come back, maimed and wounded mentally and physically, this rat bastard doesn't care. None of them do. And these Republican filth have tried to convince and have to a certain degree been successful in convincing the American public that it's Democrats that don't support the troops. Oh, you sons of bitches. That Democrats don't support the troops. It just goes on and on and on. This is from the Macon, Georgia Telegraph. There are two troubling reports, one out today that points to serious problems affecting the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs' ability to treat military personnel returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. Our veterans' mental and physical health is not something to play games with. They have served their country, and their country has an absolute obligation to return the favor. Not in this world, Macon Telegraph. Not in Bush world. And the Macon Telegraph endorsed Bush twice. So to hell with you, Macon Telegraph. From the Associated Press. Bush budget cuts veterans health care all the way up to 2009. The Bush administration's budget assumes cuts to veterans health care 2 years from now, even as badly wounded troops returning from Iraq could overwhelm the system. And this from the Associated Press. It is the invisible psychological harm, primarily post-traumatic stress disorder, that is the most pervasive and pernicious injury from this war, and that is emerging as its signature disability. Veterans advocates say it is the number one issue facing soldiers returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. PTSD. The scope of the problem is daunting. 35% of Iraq veterans sought psychological counseling within a year of coming home, according to DOD. You got to wonder how many actually got it. Many Veterans Administration PTSD programs are too full to accept new patients. A survey of VA and defense mental health providers conducted by VA psychologist Stephen Silver found that 90% had no training. Many said they did not treat PTSD at all because they did not know how. Oh my God. From the Texarkana Gazette. Veterans clinic cancels routine appointments. Understaffed center seeks a staff position. From KFOX TV. A growing backlog of disability compensation claims at the Department of Veterans Affairs has left many veterans waiting years for benefits they expected and needed much sooner. VA workload reports for early February 2007 show that more than 600,000 disability compensation claims are waiting to be answered. From the Columbus, Ohio Dispatch. A year ago, on Thanksgiving morning, in the corrugated metal pole barn that housed his family's electrical business, Timothy Bowman put a handgun to his head and pulled the trigger. The bullet only grazed his forehead, so he put the gun in his mouth and pulled the trigger again. He had been home from the Iraq War for 8 months. Once a fun-loving, life-of-the-party type, Bowman had slipped into an abyss, tormented by things he'd been ordered to do in war. This just goes on and on and on. It goes on and on and on and on. Go to americablog.blogspot.com and look for the veteran story. And I've got one more when we come back, and this is the one that our senior correspondent sent it to me this morning, and sent me a link, and I found the story, and it's the last one I'm going to share with you, and then we're going to take some phone calls. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
The man who does not stand to salute our president, 'cause in these times we must fall in line. There's no room for dissent. And I support the troops, my friend, so I drive an SUV in honor of those brave young souls who died to give the right to me.
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
And by the way, Reggie over at TVNewsLies.org sent me a link to a story they published about all this in 2003. And the subject line says, "Why is this news?" Well, the quick answer is because most of us still cling to the mistaken belief that mainstream media is going to provide us the information that we need, and it's not going to. If you want to see what TV News Lies was reporting in 2003, write this down. Go to tvnewslies.org/troop, T-R-O-O-P, numeral 2, troop2.pdf. It's a PDF file. You can take a look at it. tvnewslies.org/troop, T-R-O-O-P, numeral 2, troop2.pdf. One more time, tvnewslies.org/troop2.pdf. That's why remaining tethered to mainstream media as the primary source of the information you need to survive and your country to survive is worse than a waste of time. It's an act of political social suicide. You have to go somewhere else to get the information. You have to. Now, from the second part of the expose in the Washington Post, the first part came Monday, Sunday, the second part came Monday. This is just a little excerpt. Perks and stardom do not come to every amputee. Sergeant David Thomas, a gunner with the Tennessee National Guard, spent his first 3 months at Walter Reed with no decent clothes. Medics in Samarra, Iraq, had cut off his uniform. Heavily drugged, missing one leg, and suffering from traumatic brain injury, David, 42, was finally told by a physical therapist to go to the Red Cross office, where he was given a T-shirt and sweatpants. He was awarded a Purple Heart but had no underwear. David tangled with Walter Reed's image machine when he wanted to attend a ceremony for a fellow amputee, a Mexican national who was being granted U.S. citizenship by President Bush. A caseworker quizzed him about what he would wear. It was summer, so David said, "Shorts." The case manager said the media would be there and shorts were not advisable because the amputees would be seated in the front row. David recalls asking, "Are you telling me that I can't go to the ceremony because I'm an amputee?" And she replied, "No, I'm saying you need to wear pants." David told the caseworker, "I'm not ashamed of what I did, and y'all shouldn't be either." When the guest list came out for the ceremony, his name was not on it. And the reason for it, of course, is because Bush would be standing there with these amputees, and as long as they had long pants draped over the edges of their wheelchairs, that was acceptable. But God forbid that this filthy, pig, murderous bastard in the White House should be photographed standing next to men he sent to have their legs blown off. This is how sick it has become. Cockroaches, black mold, rats, spiders, no therapists, medical care when and if it's available. This is what American soldiers are returning to. Oh, my God. So, go to these sites that I've mentioned tonight, okay? TVNewsLies.org/troop2.pdf. AmericaBlog.blogspot.com. WashingtonPost.com. And take a look. Read the stuff there. For God's sake, read it. Take a look at it. You know, even I'm not going to get up tomorrow morning and go do something. So nobody's asking you to go do something, but are we going to sit back on our asses and even be ignorant of what these sons of bitches are doing? The Bush crime family, what they're doing to us and our country and the people that they are sending into these hideous wars, and Bush wants more of it, the Horn of Africa, Iran, all over the entire Middle East. He wants more and more and more. This cowardly pig who refused to serve when it came his turn. And take a look at the picture of the veteran. Oh, I know, all wars have wounded veterans, right? Huh? Yeah, doesn't really mean anything. But take a look at the picture of the guy on the cover of page one of the Washington Post on Sunday. This guy who appears to be somewhere in his late 30s, maybe early 40s, and his right eye is fine, and his left eye is gone, and there's an empty socket. For what? For what? TVNewsLies.org/capital T troop numeral 2.pdf. I forgot to say that. Capital T and troop. Troop numeral 2.pdf. AmericaBlog.blogspot.com. And WashingtonPost.com, if you got the stomach for it. If you don't have the stomach for it, I understand. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. All right. Just one more thing here, and then we're going to your phone calls. We mentioned this last night. The National Health Insurance Act. It's still designated H.R. 676. And I told you that 25 or 35 members of the House had signed on as co-sponsors. Of course, they're all Democrats. There's not a Republican on earth who would support a national health care. They would rather see their mamas and their children die of diseases that, that could be treated if they could afford it, rather than sign on, because their preachers and their Republican members of Congress have told them that national health care is satanic, or it comes out of Hillary Clinton's head, or it's whatever they've been told. So Republican, middle class and wage-earning Republicans would rather see their own children die of diseases rather than support national health, and which is one of the curious characteristics of a Republican. But Doris in Washington sent to me this press release. Medicare for All, it's the National Health Insurance Act, gains more backers since it was introduced. It has been referred to committees on energy and commerce, ways and means, and natural resources for debate. Now, let me list the sponsors. Now, listen up. Neil Abercrombie, Tammy Baldwin, Julia Carson, Donna Christensen, Yvette Clark, William Clay, Steve Cohen, Elijah Cummings, Danny Davis, William Delahunt, Keith Ellison, Elliot Engel, Sam Farr, Chaka Fatah, Bob Filner, Al Green, Raul Grijalva, Luis Gutierrez, Elsie Hastings, Maurice Hinchy, Michael Honda, Jesse Jackson Jr., Sheila Jackson Lee, Eddie Johnson, Henry Johnson, Marcy Kaptur, Carolyn Kilpatrick, Dennis Kucinich, Barbara Lee, John Lewis, David Losebach, Carolyn Maloney, Jim McDermott, James McGovern, Michael McNulty, Martin Meehan, George Miller, Gwen Moore, Gerald Nadler, John Oliver, Ed Pastor, Donald Payne, Charles Rangel, Lucille Roybal Allard, Bobby Rush, Robert Scott, Jose Serrano, Hilda Salas, Adolphus Towns, Maxine Waters, Diane Watson, Anthony Weiner, Robert Wexler, Lynn Woolsey, Albert Wynn. Whose name was missing? We went right through the P's, didn't we? Huh? Do we have any P's here? Oh, yeah. Ed Pastor and Donald Payne. Where's Nancy Pelosi? Where's Nancy Pelosi? Is she not supposed to co-sponsor legislation like this, a national health care plan designed to take 47 million Americans off of the emergency room health care and placed on the insurance roll? Where's Nancy Pelosi? Come on, Nancy, where are you? Huh? Maybe you were busy that day. Okay. I'll accept that. Now, I didn't mention John Conyers because he's one who introduced the legislation, so he's included. But where's somebody help me out here? Where's Nancy Pelosi? No, she just not there, huh? Okay. I'm sure she'll be there before this week is out. I'm sure that she will add her name to the co-sponsors in the House who are seeking health care for everybody in the country under a simple plan that works. Medicare for everybody. Just extend it. The administrative costs of Medicare are about 2 to 3% of the money it takes in. The administrative costs for private health insurance runs up to 20, 21%. Where does the difference go? Into the pockets of companies like, oh, I don't know, pick one, Aflac? There's a million of them. So I'm sure Nancy Pelosi's name will be on this list. I just, it's a feeling in my bones. I know it's coming. All right, let's Let's do some phone calls. Virginia is calling from Alameda, California. Hey, Virginia.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
So good. I'm so glad you took most of the words out of my mouth. What a routine they've got going in this government. You know, remember when it was the World War II, though, when the vets came back and they were being so abused, and that's when so much change kicked in? It's like, it doesn't feel like a replay of some sort. I mean, I wasn't there, but that's what I remember, is when all the New Deal programs and everything came back, it was because of the vets.
Yeah.
And the abuse of the vets. But to, like, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, there is absolutely no surprise in me over what happened, what is happening to the veterans in Walter Reed and everywhere around the country. It is not in the least bit surprising to anybody with a chronic illness, on disability, trying to get disability, anyone with a mental health illness. All of us who have any of those problems know exactly what they're going through, except that they're in a trapped system that they can't even go to the next roach-infested clinic down the road and see if it's any better over there.
You know, that's bad enough, and every single American should stand in shame because of this. But you know what makes it worse is the fact that these Republican pigs always talk about how Democrats don't support the troops.
Well, it's the insanity of it all. I mean, but what I'm saying is that it expands beyond the troops, that they cannot be immune from what the rest of the country is having to go through, which is inferior health care, abuse from people who are overwhelmed and underqualified. And it's chronic and endemic to the whole darn nation.
It is. Right.
Now we've got thousands upon thousands of young, able people who just came back and have suddenly been thrown in among the disabled and the elderly to see how this country treats them.
It's awful.
And it's absolutely astonishing. And it's the same thing, that's the same way. Thank goodness. If it wasn't for you, I don't know what I would do. I mean, put it together. Of course, we are turning into the USSR. We're going to have to secede from this country like the little, you know, countries that got away from the USSR, because this is absolutely out of control. They want to drive you crazy. So then you'll either be a pharmaceutical client for the rest of your life, or you can go into a prison where you can be. Did you see a 2020 or a 60 Minutes thing that they just did this weekend on mentally ill prisoners, dehydrated to death, in bondage for 16 hours straight, starved to death, stabbed themselves 7 times, or stabbed themselves, took an eye out, and they say, oh, no, they were just looking for attention. They're not mentally ill. Thank you, and kill them. And these are the guys who were also at Abu Ghraib, you know, our prisoners from here in the U.S. Everything is so connected. And the thing that people keep forgetting also from that grand old speech, just to warn you that we are absolutely going to be all criminalized or militarized, was that whole civil service, you know, non-draft, but, you know, here you are. I mean, like Israel, you're going to serve one way or another, but you're going to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to serve for empire, and you're going to serve for corporations, and that's that. And if you don't, then you're crazy. And if you're crazy, then you're going to prison. And if you're in prison, oh, and also don't forget, they are raiding. You see what's going on in California in our prisons?
No.
They try to deport our prisoners, our U.S. citizen prisoners, to other states, to private prisons in Tennessee, Mississippi, Minnesota, and several other states. He was signing up thousands of probably mentally disabled and illiterate prisoners to go to private prisons in other states because we're overcrowded. And the only thing that stopped them were the prisoners' guards unions, not even the ACLU.
Oh, Jesus.
And they are raiding the jails and the prisons for undocumented aliens,
right. But
so that then they can start deportation procedures, which they take you out of the state also to do, so that your family and no one can help you, and then they can corner them, and we're going to be a society of prisoners.
Well, let's hope that it doesn't happen. I mean, there's got to be resistance. Virginia, thank you. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be right back.
So the world will know that God is one, or the shepherd is asleep where the willows weep, and the mountains are filled with lost sheep. Ring them bells.
This is Laura Pigglesbush. When Georgie falls asleep, I creep into the Oval Office, sneak a ciggy, and turn on Mike Malloy. Then I reprogram Georgie's speed dial. The simple pleasures.
Twenty-one past the hour. Back to your phone calls. Jeff is calling from Phoenix. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Doing fine.
Hey, listen, you know, you're right. We do need to stay alive because we know that the death machine, the death cults, rather, that has... you know, taking over rule of this country is capable of wiping out life on this planet. So, you know, we might as well stick around and try to stop them. You know, there was a time when this world was kind of turned into a living hell when people were enslaved in this country. And the only way to stop it from being hell was to free the slaves. And, you know, right now, I mean, who doesn't look at those who are serving in our military as being enslaved?
Yeah, I would agree with about 90% of that. There are people who join the military because they're not uneducated. They're not looking for a job. They're not looking for to get a signing bonus. They do join because they still believe in military traditions. It may be strong in their family.
Sure.
Yada yada yada. But you're absolutely right. The other 90%, I would think at this point. Since we do not have a draft, since there's no such thing any longer as shared responsibility when we have a madman in the White House who decides to launch a war, that shared responsibility that would have ended this war 3 years ago isn't there anymore. So, yeah, I think you're right. It's a joke, a sham, and these people are being turned into... these people who joined the military are being turned into some kind of I don't know, killers. People.
Well, they you know, like General Smedley Butler had concluded that he was being used as a mafia hitman.
Right.
I mean, I think it's more than 10%. I think a lot of the people are soldiers, are natural born, like many men, warriors looking to be honorable. As any man born on this planet should be. I'm not saying any man should be a soldier, but we all have and women, we all have an honorable nature, not a genocidal massacre, imperial, conquering nature. That's not human nature. These civilian killers who operate like the Nazi Party with a nuclear arsenal have all of us basically held by this authority. But you know, what law have they not broken?
Right.
You know what and what are they about to do? That's to me the only important thing that. Facing us today, what are they about to do? Are they about, you know, are they people who think like what is it, Jorg Hegel? You know, they should reshape the makeup of the world's population. 25, 40 million deaths are okay. They will survive. What do they think? The world is overpopulated. You know, what are several 100 million deaths.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're threatening a world war, a greater war. You know, there are military officials who know this. There are others who just toe the line and are, maybe they're all for it. I don't know, but you know, I at this point, I would think that most honorable men, warriors, women realize the peril that we face, and they realize the corrupt nature of their rule. And also, I mean, you're born on this earth to become what? A protector of mass murderers?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Jeff, I got to move on. Thanks. Well spoken. I appreciate what you had to say. Thanks, Jeff. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Go to bed angry. Let Mike Malloy do it for you on Nova M Radio.
Before the hour. Back to your phone calls. RW is calling from Chattanooga. Hey, RW.
Hey, Tennessee Bureau Chief checking in.
Yes, indeed.
Well, it turns out it's kind of fortuitous that you're talking about the 676, because the chimp that walks like a man is expected to come visit Chattanooga tomorrow morning. He's going to be at a hospital, so he's going to make some sort of health care announcement. And then he's going to get the trade center. But you're going to really love this. The local head of the Hamilton County Republican Party asked all the faithful, you know, the party faithful to show up and show their support of the president, bring a flag, and they get, and get this. Make sure it'd be even better if it was the one that was on a casket of a fallen soldier.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just couldn't believe that kind of nonsense. And it's just oh, I don't know. I just don't know what. Just nonsense, you know. And the way they use our people.
I know, and continue to use the American flag, the American soldier's uniform, the American soldier himself or herself. These people are the most dishonorable group, RW, that I honest to God, that I think ever infested the executive branch of government. It's just, it's an outrage. And they're here to stay. They're not going to go away. They're not going away.
I don't know. Well, there's only, that's one thing that kind of scares me about the Iran situation is because you know, Scott Ritter pointed out if we do hit Iran and oil goes to $200 or $300, you know, dollars a barrel, there's going to be social, you know, social uprisings in this country, and I think that's when they're going to, you know, use that excuse. You know, that's what scares me about the whole situation.
That's when they use the excuse to start locking up Americans in detention centers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing I've heard. Otherwise, I think they're going to. You know, unless they pull that out of that, you know, the hat, I don't see how they're going to hold on power in the presidency. And they have been reduced to a regional southern power politically. And hopefully, if the Democrats show some courage, I mean, I'm getting to doubt that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of recently what Hillary's been saying about the war, it's just like, what?
Yeah, I know. I don't know where to turn sometimes either. I really don't. It's almost like. It's, you know, it's 10 minutes after the end of the fourth quarter. The game's over, and, you know, it's time to turn the lights out and go home. I hate to say that, because if I start believing that, then I really will give up, and I really will leave the United States and go live somewhere else. And I'm not at that point yet, but sometimes it feels that way. It just feels like, you know, what the hell happened in six very short years? Now, I realize it started before this pig Bush stole the office of the presidency with the help of the Supreme Court. I know there were some cracks in the Constitution that were certainly put there by Reagan during Iran-Contra, certainly put there by Pappy Bush, and certainly put there by Bill Clinton. But this guy comes along with these neocon murderers, these Soviet-style Nazis, if that's a proper term, and just in a bum's rush, you talk about telescoping time. In 6 short years, they have done, the Bush administration has done to this country constitutionally what you wouldn't imagine would ever happen in the United States of America.
I know, it's amazing.
It is.
And people just turn around and it's like, well, well, well. And they're not, and I just, I don't know what to say about the, you know, about the so-called faithful and your friends and neighbors who, they know what's going on, but they just choose not to notice. And I cannot understand for the life of me how they can choose not to notice. I mean, my God, you know.
Well, there is precedent here, R.W. There is precedent here. You know, when I was a kid growing up, we in our school, especially history classes, we always had the question, and I never got a sufficient answer. What were the German people doing during the 30s? You know, how did they allow such an evil a person as Adolf Hitler to come to power and do what he did? And here's our answer. I mean, here's the answer. How does a monstrous regime reach the absolute apex of power? How did Hitler do it? How did we know how Stalin did it, but how did Hitler do it? There was no revolution in Germany like there was in Russia, which became the Soviet Union. Hitler did it legally, just so to speak, just like this son of a bitch Bush is doing it legally, so to speak.
You're in the same region as I am.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
You're North Georgia. I'm in South Tennessee.
Right.
You know all the militia nuts that are out there screaming and holler, Bill Clinton's going to stake our rights. Bill Clinton.
Oh, my God. Yes, I know.
and now, where are they? They were going to take to the streets. They were going to do this. They were going to do that.
Yeah,
where are these cowards?
Yeah. Well, there you go. They are where cowards always go. They're hiding behind their mommy's skirts. That's where they go, I guess.
I think we need to do maybe try some, you know, we need to put some backbone in these Democrats. We need to write our congressmen and Senate, all of them. And I think maybe we ought to just sit down and write a letter to the Pentagon and say, hey, you're patriot. There's some patriots in there. You know, you know, this guy's a nutball, you know, show some resistance.
I got an email tonight from somebody suggested maybe a certain cadre of upper echelon military commanders in the Pentagon have signed some sort of a loyalty oath to Bush, and that's why they are saying like this half-wit in that I was quoting earlier, the guy who the naval vice admiral who is saying that Iran is doing things that are antagonistic and bellicose. Yeah, my God, Iran is? You know. All right. Well, listen, R.W., stay in touch until the lights go out, okay?
All right.
All right,
no
R.W.
problem.
All right, appreciate it. Take care. Gloria in San Francisco wrote this to me. She said, Mike, I don't think this is about where's Nancy Pelosi's name on that list of co-sponsors for universal health care. Mike, I don't think Speaker Nancy Pelosi is allowed to co-sponsor legislation. Even though she's an elected Democrat, she is Speaker of the entire House, not just the Democratic majority. I read this somewhere, so check it out. Blah, blah, blah. Good to see you back on the Quake. Gloria in San Francisco. All right, well, there are so many areas of the intricacies of governance that I am just of which I'm totally ignorant. And that, okay, I'll, somebody will check that out. Maybe I will. Maybe that's the reason that Nancy Pelosi's name is not on the list of co-sponsoring this legislation. If that's the case, so be it. It was just stunning to me to not see her name on that list and to come to the conclusion that it was just not something that she felt politically safe in doing. If that's not the case, man, do I stand corrected and apologize for assuming that Nancy Pelosi would not sign on to that legislation. Maybe she is prohibited from doing so. Thanks for sending that in. Another mistake on the Malloy program. Jesus. Mike is calling from Chicago. Mike, welcome to the program.
What's going on, Mike? Don't you find it a little convenient that the weak Prince Harry is supposed to go to Iraq, all of a sudden they're leaving?
There is a little bit of possible coincidence there, maybe. Yeah.
You know what? I just want to let you know, I wrote to Murtha and Barack, your last caller just called, and I just pretty much told them, why not propose a bill to the Senate saying that until this hillbilly puts back every penny that he cut from the Veterans Fund, they don't give him a dime for this escalation. So this way, if Bush says no, he looks like the bad guy, and Sean Insanity's out there can't say that the Democrats don't care about the troops, because this is exactly why they're doing it.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
Yeah. Well, anyways, the reason I was calling was this was a blip on the radar, and because I'm in Chicago, Scalia's daughter lives out here in Wheaton, and she got busted for a DUI with her three kids in the van.
Yeah, I read about that the other day. Boy, did that story drop off the radar screen.
Yeah,
just like, boom!
Yeah, this was in Thursday's paper, and I just noticed it yesterday, and I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I guess, you know, the liberal media out there, they forgot to cover this, right?
Yeah, now, this Scalia woman endangers herself and God knows who else and three children, and it doesn't get reported, but Jesus Christ, let this poor, sad, what's the blonde woman who just died? Anna Nicole Smith, you know, you can't get away from it.
Yeah, and, you know, today when they were talking about that Building 18 at the Veterans Place, you know, CNN's covering it, MSNBC's covering it, you flip over to the Bad Channel, and they're showing, you know, Britney getting her hair cut. And I'm just like, no.
Well, don't forget, anybody associated with Fox, whether as a performer or a listener, is a half-witted fool. Remember that study that showed the people who listen to Fox television or radio or Hannity or any of those morons were so far off the target on what was reality and what was not reality as to render their decisions totally meaningless.
Yeah.
You know, Hannity and Limbaugh and Savage and the rest of these people, they are nothing more than propagandists who spew this stuff out.
Cameron's wife works for the Bush campaign. I mean, isn't there a conflict of interest there somewhere?
No.
Well, anyways, Mike, I hope your vacation was good. I'll let you go. I know you got 15 minutes left.
All right.
But I'll check in again with you.
Take care, Mike.
Okay.
I appreciate your call.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Shirley is calling from Tennessee. Oh, wait, Shirley, hold on, because I got to take a break here. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. To kill our tomatoes. Soldiers of peace are just changing the game.
Men who were fighting for all of our lives are now fighting for children, for homes and for wives, fighting for the
Nighty night, truth seekers. Time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer, more Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. Okay, let me clear up something I was trying to clear up. Apparently, a Speaker of the House can co-sponsor legislation. Reggie over at TV News Lies sent me a list here of bills co-sponsored by Dennis Hastert when he was the Speaker. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, next page. So we're back to square one, right? Thanks, Reg, I appreciate it. We're back to square one. Nancy Pelosi could co-sponsor the legislation to end this health care debacle in this country, and she hasn't. So maybe it's time to ask the Speaker some questions. I really feel wrung out tonight. It's very seldom that we have stories of this magnitude. The impending invasion and murder of Iran. The declaration by a United States appellate court today that habeas corpus did not apply to George Bush and the murderous sons of bitches around him who can scoop up anybody they want, do anything they want to them, up to and including torture and execution, with no legal representation whatsoever. God, I can't. And then the story started by the Washington Post for in immediate time. I realized that TVNewsLies.org had this, and a lot of subsequent follow-ups to what is happening to American soldiers when they come back. But the Washington Post kind of ripped the lid off of everything. And to have stories of that sickening magnitude, I don't know. I almost get consumed with the rage. I really do. Oh, well. It's not a good thing to do. To get that crazed. Thanks to our engineer in Phoenix, Ian Huff, who also handled your phone calls. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. And thanks to Mark Marshall, our webmaster, and the moderators at MikeMalloy.com on the message board. And if you get a chance or are so inclined, go to NovaMradio.com and sign up for downloads and podcasts and a chance to win $10,000. The executive producer of this program is Catherine Bay. I think we have time for another phone call or two. Shirley is calling from Tennessee. Hey, Shirley. Hey, Shirley. Shirley's there somewhere. Shirley?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, welcome to the program.
Okay. Hi. I'm in Knoxville, Tennessee right now.
Uh-huh.
Anyhow, the reason for my call is you were talking about the national health care.
Right.
And you were also talking about the soldiers not having health care. What about taking the money from the soldiers' health care, putting it into the national health care, shifting them to the national health care so that they get decent insurance?
I'm sure there are all sorts of ways to do it. That may be one of them, Shirley. But as long as there are Republicans who have any power whatsoever to stop it, it will be stopped. Republicans.
But couldn't we say, okay, then you're not supporting the soldiers then?
Oh, who's going to listen? Hannity or Limbaugh or some of these people would come on the air the next day and say to their brain dead listeners, don't listen to that. There are probably several ways to get national health care. What you're suggesting may be one of them. But the fact remains that as long as Republicans are a political force in this country, either in the Congress or in the voting booth, there will never be national health care. Republicans do not want health care. Even middle class, I said it earlier tonight, middle class or working class Republicans with a sick child and no health care would rather see their own child die than vote for national health care, because their elected representative, Republican, or their minister, or whomever has their brains, tells them that national health care is communism or socialism or God doesn't want it or whatever nonsense are being told. So I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say.
I know. It's hard. It's really, really hard. And it seems like we just keep hitting our heads up against a brick wall with all of this.
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. All right. Thanks for checking in, Shirley. I appreciate it. Bob is calling from Seattle. Bob, welcome to the program. We don't have very much time. I'm sorry. Hey, Bob. Is Bob there? I guess Bob isn't there. All right. How about Mark in New Mexico. Hey, Mark. Okay, we can't get Mark either. Are you there, Mark?
I'm there. I'm here.
Okay, there you go. Okay.
Hey, Mike. Nice to talk to you. I've listened to you for a long, long time. I travel for a living, so late at night, you get as mad as you get. But what I would like to say is, you know, has this administration or anybody in Congress or Senate on the Republican side ever done anything nice for anybody? They screwed the Christians. They've They screwed the veterans. I get enraged like you do. I can't understand that these people don't see that they're just getting kicked in the teeth every time they turn around.
I don't get it either. I don't. I wish I did. Hey, listen, I've got bad news, pal. We're flat out of time. Call back later on the week, and I'll put you on, and we'll chat, okay?
All right. Take care.
All right, Mark. Appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night, True Seekers. Okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is NovaM Radio.